Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come again to that location. You have come again to that location. Is that correct? You've come once again to that location.
It all works.
Where we talk about the real issues that men face. It all works. Hey, you're listening to a couple of guys who just want to be able to share their challenges and experiences and coming to know Christ in different areas of life. And we got a topic today that has to do with becoming more Christ-like.
Yeah.
Is kind of, would that be the way to say
becoming more Christ-like, becoming more like Christ, you know? Is,
yeah.
It kind depends on however you want to phrase it.
Yeah. It all points in the same direction, though. And and you're listening to this as a podcast or maybe even streamed live, but you're listening to this because you are curious. How can I become more Christ-like? Or what does that look like? And we're going to chat about that here momentarily and everything. And in the meantime, in the studio with me today is, do you want to say it in Spanish or anything?
My name in Spanish is Eric.
back from a little vacation. And anyway, so I'm glad you're here today.
Hola.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be one of those shows.
I just exhausted all of my Spanish, so don't worry about it.
No, there was
except,
another one.
Except, no, sin frijoles, which means no beans.
Yeah, but ¿dónde el baño?
Oh, yes. ¿Dónde está el baño, por favor? Where's the bathroom? Where's the bathroom?
quickly.
Anyway. Andale. See, that's, I know more. Andale.
Amazing. We're getting all of
it's amazing how much Spanish I learned.
Yeah, especially under pressure. Nonetheless. All right. Well, good to have you here, man.
Thanks. Good to be here at the Band of Brothers for Christ Intergalactic Headquarters.
Do you have any encouragement for our brothers who are listening this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever it might be when you're listening to this?
You know what? When I was driving over here this morning, I didn't. But, you know, one of the things that I enjoy about coming over here is just, you know, that short time that we have to just sit down. There's an office down below the studio here where we just sit down and we just talk about whatever comes up. And so this morning, what came up was our kids.
Yes.
And how we go through these seasons of life sometimes it's tough to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about my kids when they were really young, how, you know, we had to have, you know, small boundaries around our kids, right? And as they learned to deal with the world and be responsible in the world around them, then we were able to expand the boundaries out, you know, little bits at a time, mm-hmm. so that they could grow in their responsibility, right. While at the same time as parents we kept them safe from, you know, the harms of the world, you know, to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of the way things go. You know, we have to expand the boundaries, and sometimes we don't want to expand the boundaries because we want to make sure that we really, really, really keep our kids safe. And so if I don't expand the boundaries, then nothing's ever going to harm them.
Right.
But you know what? Our kids are growing up, and my kids
quickly.
Are growing up all too fast.
Yes.
And so my encouragement to the guys is, you know, to don't be afraid to let go, because, you know, we've been parenting our kids for all this time. You know, it might be that, you know, maybe you weren't even able to be there all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know. I don't know what the situation is, you know, but as we have been expanding the boundaries, sometimes it's scary because we just don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if they've reached that level of responsibility to where we can let go to this degree. But right. we have to trust that, you know, they are God's children. And that's God right. God loves the sparrow, right? Mm-hmm. And God provides for that sparrow. And how much more does he love us right. than that sparrow?
Including, you know, the children.
Including our children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we in our family, we just came up against, just last night, my daughter came to our room and she said, it's time for me to move out. And
surprise, surprise.
And, you know, part of me wants to do backflips and the other part of wants to say, no, no, you don't get to go. You have yes, to stay here. Yes. You're a child. You can't do this. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those seasons of life. And so my, you know, once again, my encouragement is just to trust your children into the hands of God.
That's right. And that we've done the best that we could and have done with what we've done so far. And this is why we always encourage to continue, you know, no matter where you're at in your relationship with your family, how old your children are, if you have any, or how long you've been married, that today's the day that you begin doing these things. You know, it's amazing, the Word of God, all the principles and the precepts that are there that are so, so important to living a life that of knowing that God is in charge, and that if we seek him, you know, and come to more of his knowledge, that all of a sudden we can feel secure in our decision-making, in seeking him for counsel, for wisdom, through others who know him also. Maybe you know him more than we do, and get that security. Yeah, it's always tough, no matter how long or what your relationship is with your children. When they leave, there's always a little something that goes with that. You know, and but you know what? There will always be your children, no matter what. But
yeah.
But I had
you and I are at different stages in life,
yes,
right? Because my kids are 12, 16, and just almost 19.
Yes.
And your kids are all grown and out of the house
yeah.
and
yep.
married, and yep. you have grandkids. And,
yeah.
You know, so you've gone all through all this before, and you look at me, and you're just chuckling.
Yeah, well, because I just know. I mean, I'm not chuckling. I just recall.
It's okay. You can go ahead and laugh, because I know that you laugh because, you know, you've been through it before, and sometimes, you know, when we're talking yes. to the guys, you know, yes. I know we sometimes read emails, right?
Yes, yes.
And we answer these emails, and sometimes we chuckle. Well, you know what? It's because we've experienced so yes. many of the things yeah. that these guys have yeah. experienced.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. And but, you know, you get through all of this, and then you end up going on and passing it on. The key, I think, is so important as followers of Christ is that we continue to let our children know that we are seeking God's counsel, and we love them, but we love the Lord, too, and we pray that they continue on in that aspect of seeking the Lord, because this world is... I mean, it was dangerous when I grew up. It's dangerous when you grew up. It's even more dangerous, it seems like, as our children are growing up in the, you know. And so all the more reason that we need to keep them focused, to love them, not to push them away necessarily from Christ, but to draw them even more toward him. As a little segue into what we're going to be talking about here. Right?
Yeah. Well,
because you had brought up good encouragement, by the way, very good encouragement. So you brought this topic up for a reason.
I was thinking about, you know, becoming more like Christ. And a lot of the times what we do is as we're going through our Christian walk, we're looking, you know, if you picture it like a river, right? The river has a source. Maybe, you know, it starts with a lake up on the top of a mountain. And when that mm-hmm. lake starts to overflow, there's a river that flows out of it. And then you have all these little tributaries and they're all, you know, running off in different directions and all that. And we tend to look at all these little offshoots, all these little tributaries, and we focus on these little things.
Mm-hmm.
But we forget about the source. Mm. Which is up on the mountain, and mm-hmm. it's the great, beautiful lake,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I was thinking of that analogy, and sometimes we really tend to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ, off of our Lord and our Savior, and we start to focus on some of the little things, you know, and focusing on, you know, am I being obedient enough, or or am I doing this right, or am I doing this right? Meanwhile, we've taken our eyes off of, you know, the source.
Right.
Right. That source of living water.
But wouldn't you say that the most of the time, and of course, depending on our maturity of knowing him, will determine on how quickly we recognize that, whoa, why am I paying attention to this stuff rather than the source? Until something happens in our lives that all of a sudden realize that we sit there and go, why is this going on? Then someone with a little more wisdom, or someone that says, well, maybe you lost focus on what it is that you need to be doing, you know, mm-hmm. or what would be best for you, you know, rather than what you need to be doing. I remember hearing that all the time. This is what you need to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing would tell a controller is what he needs to be doing, you know, as if I don't already know. And
yeah,
I didn't,
well, not only,
I know it or not.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, because, yeah, true. It's true. When somebody gives us a law, my first instinct is I'm going to break that law.
Yes.
You know, you tell me I can drive 35, well, I'm going to go 40.
Yes.
You know,
or
you,
39.
You know, and that's just the way we are. You put up a sign that says wet paint, do not touch. I got to go and see and make sure that paint is still wet. You know, I got to touch it, you know. That's just the way we are.
Yes, yes.
But sometimes that when we have those things put in front of us, you know, these laws, you have to do things this way. You know, when people say you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to focus on this. Well, sometimes that's taking the focus off of Jesus Christ and becoming who He is, because we think that if we do all of these certain things, then all of a sudden I'm going to become more like Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And if I do all these things, if I dot all my I's and cross all my T's, and then I'm going to, you know, earn some favor with God,
right?
You know, and that's actually getting the cart before the horse. It's getting things backward.
But a lot of this has a priority on. Is this a priority in our life? I mean, do we want to be more like Christ? Because in some cases, you know, some of the men who are listening, you know, ourselves at different times, we've been distracted, and we follow that scent or whatever, and it takes us off the trail in a sense, right, from the focus that we were on before. And sometimes we were even aware of it. Oh, I'm just going to go down here just a little ways just to see, you know, and I'll get back on the trail here in a moment. I'm not going to do anything crazy, but we don't know. But our curiosity, okay, kind of gets us going. And then all of a sudden, before we know it, wow, look at this. I didn't know this led here. You know, this looks like this could be fun or enjoyable or something that I so deserve this, you know.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I can be like God. Because what you're saying, it reminds me of, you know, back in the garden, you know, it was, you know, the curiosity, mm-hmm. you know, really, if I eat this, I will be like God and I'll know the difference, mm-hmm. you know, between good and evil. And, you know, I'll become wise like God mm-hmm. if I just eat this fruit. Wow. Hey,
then we hear the same thing. We hear the same thing from the enemy as Eve did, too. Right. Oh, he didn't really mean that you would not know. Or what? I forget what. Anyway,
die.
Yes.
Did he really say that you're going to die?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then they ate the fruit, and guess what? Well, their body of flesh, it didn't die.
Right.
You know, so there's always a little bit of truth hidden in those lies.
Sure.
Because the fact is that they didn't physically die.
Yes.
But spiritually, they died on that day. And death entered into the world, and eventually they did die because they, you know, got kicked out of the garden, mm-hmm. and they were separated from that tree of life, and eventually they died.
So as some of these guys are wanting to hear this podcast with this title and everything, what gets a person to want to be more Christ-like? I mean, is it pain? Is it defeat? Is it loneliness? Is it, I mean, what causes someone to desire that? Or is it experiences of feeling secure, of feeling loved, feeling accepted? I mean, or is it a mix of all of that? What do you think?
Sometimes, you know, when we've come up against some really big challenges in our life, you know, some real pain that happens, you know, a lot of times we will, a lot of men will come to Christ and say, God, I need you to get me out of this bind,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not always pain that wants us, that drives us to be more like Christ, you know. It can be, it depending on, you know, all the different, the circumstances, but what I find is that the desire to be more Christ-like mm-hmm. comes from being just enamored with him and in love with him, mm-hmm. right? The desire, you know, okay, we can look at golfers, right? You look at any professional golfer, you ask them, you know, what was your influence in life?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost always another great golfer that lived before them.
Right.
Right? So they saw greatness in this person,
like,
and they wanted to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as Christians, we see that God himself is the source of all greatness, mm-hmm. that there is none greater than him. And, you know, and the love of Christ is just so amazing that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just falling in love with who God is, falling in love with the person of Christ that draws us to want to be like him.
You know, when you say that, falling in love with Christ, some guys get a little, oh, man, that feels weird or sounds weird, you know?
In our culture, it could, yeah.
You know? To where you sit there and go, okay, you know. But then the Bible says that for us to show love to God is by being obedient to him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he receives that, hey, you love me because you do as I command you to do, in a sense, right? And I am pleased with that. And and what we want to do is please God, because we're with him for eternity, okay? Unless you decide to make a U-turn somewhere along the line, you know, and but I'm not sure if that's even possible, you know, for those who are truly, well, yeah. I don't even want to go there because then that becomes a...
Yeah, we could, that brings up a theological discussion, but I would be on the same page with you.
But you know what I mean? And yet, here's the deal. What does that look like in today's world? I mean, today's world, we're enamored, inundated with so many things from media, new technology, communication, where you don't even have to be in the same hemisphere as someone else to be able to talk clearly with them and to be able to even see them. You know, it's amazing in how quickly things change. And it's very scary in a sense. Right? It could be drum up a lot of fear for us and everything. So, but anyway, with that, hold your thought, because I know you wanted to say something. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I want to talk about this being Christ-like, where maybe we've made a decision to be more like him. What is that going to look like? I mean, should we really find nothing but people in our lives that are just like us? Or is it okay to be in the world, but still loving him? You know the answer to this one. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Lord, don't let these worries get the best of me. You're still here with me, 'cause you meant what you said when you said you'd never leave. So carry me, carry me, carry me now, from my sinking sand to your solid ground. The only way I'm ever gonna make it out is if you carry me.
Welcome back to the Band of Brothers Radio, and you carry me, you carry me now. And, you know, so often we just want to be in his arms. You just take care of me, Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just walk me through all of this so I don't have to get bumped and bruised and left behind, in a sense. And yet that's not the way that he usually, he wants us to seek him. He will protect us, but he allows things to take place because there are things that we need to take care of for him. Right.
Yeah, he allows things to take place. And this actually fits right into what we're talking about this morning in becoming more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the things that we go through, you know, we talk about the refiner's fire.
Yes.
That's one of the things, one of the terms that you'll hear come up sometimes. And what this is that, you know, they melt down the ore and you get all this dross that comes up to the surface. Right. And you scoop all that stuff off. Well, mm-hmm. you had to get that stuff really, really hot. You had to put it mm-hmm. through a lot mm-hmm. in order to get to that point where you could take the impurities
yep.
away.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of that's, you know, one of the analogies for what we're going through in this life is
right.
that, you know, in order to become more Christ-like, we actually have to go through trials and tribulations on this world, learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And thus become more like Christ in them.
Yes.
You know, and when they would fashion some metal, right, they would stick it into the furnace, right? And then they'd pull it out and they'd pound on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd fold it and there would still be, you know, some imperfections in it. So what do? They put it right back in the fire until it got hot and they mm-hmm. pulled it out and they pounded on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things that we go through. And this is all part of becoming like Christ.
And so often we have this perception of what it's going to be like as of being a follower. Because I want to be like these people who are happy and joyous and they seem free. You know, I want to be like that. I want to be able to deal with life the way that I heard them just say what they did and what they, you know, how they did it. I want that. But what I don't want is I want to have to go through what they went through to get there. Okay? you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want the shortcut version. And that's, unfortunately, that's not just a mindset of someone in the past, that's someone in today. That's all of us at one time or another. I mean, if we think about it, you talk about the refining fire of what you have to go through. If I knew what I have to go through to get where he wants me to be, I would probably say, I think I'll pick another day to start. You know, right? Procrastination now becomes my best friend, right?
Right.
And that's where I just want to put that off. I mean, if I knew as an infant, okay, had the knowledge of what it is that I had to do to be born physically, I don't know if I'd want to go through that. I'm claustrophobic. I don't want to have to go through that sort of thing. You know, I shake and just looking at divers underwater going through caves and everything and, you know, trying to get through these little spots and,
oh,
and
yeah.
stuff. And I sit there and I go, there ain't no way I'd ever do that. Well, you did do that. You did do that being born physically, okay? And if I knew what I had to go through to get to that opening of the freedom and the garden in a sense, right, I would I do that sort of thing? Well, yeah, I guess you have to have enough pain on the backside. It's no different. We've seen movies where, you know, the fire's coming, the explosion's about ready to happen. The guy's going to try to dive underneath this door that's coming down that will crush him if he doesn't get there quick enough. And he runs like you're ready to just put on the brakes, and he dives. And, of course, it's the movies. But anyway, he gets through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's in freedom, you know? Yes, we all breathe because we're holding our breath as we're watching it, right? And yet that's the same thing that we end up doing. But many of us, and I shouldn't say many of us, some, I have actually put on the brakes and, no, I'm not going through there. I'll wait for a bigger door. It's not closing so fast, right? But the only way to drive us to get to desire to do that is the discomfort and everything else that's going on in my life saying, I need a change. I'm willing to trust God. God saying, trust me. Run as fast as you can.
Well, that brings up the question of how do we know what it is that needs change in our life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm going to go back to the golfer analogy that I was talking about earlier. So you have a professional golfer who idolized another golfer earlier on in his life, right?
Yep.
Well, you know what he did is he studied that golfer.
Mm-hmm.
He took a look at, you know, the backswing and the tempo and the follow through and mm-hmm. and the club face angle and how he held his head position and his shoulder rotation. I mean, he studied everything about this guy's golf swing mm-hmm. because he wanted to be just like that person. In the same way, we need to get to know our own Lord and Savior.
Right.
You know, we need to study him.
Come to the knowledge of him.
Mm-hmm. I'll read, let me see, 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was Peter saying in one of his letters that how
right.
important it is for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. You know, I can't become like somebody that I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
but we do want to. We want to buy a shirt that has their name on it if they're an athlete or something, right? Say, look, I'm just like Mike or whatever. You know, I got his shirt and jersey. I'm just like him.
Yeah.
No, what you're saying is that you're cheering him on is what you're doing.
Did you ever try and do a book report by watching the movie version of the book?
I did many things like that, yes.
See, it didn't work out very well, though, did it? Because we wanted to take some shortcut.
Yes.
You know, we had to get into the book itself. Otherwise, you know, we get some adulterated version of what it was. And the teacher looks at our report and says, you only watched To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
You didn't actually read the book, did you, Eric? You see, so that's so what I'm saying here is that in order to become more like Christ, we have to know him. And in order to know him, you know, he's spoken to us
yes.
in his word. And mm-hmm. so we have to get into it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not spending time with a friend, you know, that relationship with your friend suffers. If
yeah.
we're not getting into the Word of God to know who he is, you know, that relationship will suffer. And
exactly.
I won't know, you know, you talk about changing. I won't know what it is that God wants me to do. I won't know what his will for me is unless I get into his Word and study it.
Yes.
You know, it says in one of the Thessalonian letters, I don't remember, but I wish I could remember.
That's all right.
But it says that that the will of God is your sanctification, that you remain,
yes.
That you abstain from sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I know that because I go to God's word and I see that that's what he wants for me.
Right. I mean, I like what you hear or what you read because we got to remember we have the flesh that is constantly drawing us to seek our pleasure and desires and our curiosity for it to be satisfied and knowing full well what that curiosity or what that is all going to lead to. We know inside that this is going to, I remember what that feels like, you know. And yet we know that what it does lead to, the temptation, the desire leads to temptation, or temptation leads to the desire that leads to sin. And the sin, what that does is separate us from God. Completely,
mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't leave us, but he may turn away from what we're doing, you know, And as we are doing that, you know, we get this thing called conviction. And I believe that the more we come to know him, we get to that place where it's like, man, the conviction seems to be heavier and heavier the more that I get to know him. You know, well, there's good reason for that, you know, because he wants us to be holy as he is holy, you know. And so we have to continue striving for that. But anyway.
Yeah, well, the conviction, it does get stronger as you get nearer to him. I mean, you can think of a candle in a room, right? So what you've got is you've got a candle in a room and you've got a mirror. Okay, so you're standing on the far side of the room. You look in the mirror. You can barely see the reflection in the mirror, right? Because the light is dim. Well, as you walk closer to the candle, the reflection in the mirror gets brighter because we're closer to the source of the flame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's kind of a picture of how things are in our own Christian walk. Yes. And I have to admit that it hasn't always been pleasant when that reflection got brighter, because, you know, a lot of times I didn't like what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, and God is going to say, you know what, now is the time, now that you see this, now that I'm showing you this, now is the time that we're going to work on this.
Yes. I think James talks about it too, that a man looks in a mirror to see, you know, the reflection and immediately turns away. He forgets what it is he saw.
There's a reason he turned away. It was ugly.
Right. It was ugly. He said, okay, no, I don't want to, that's not me. That's somebody else. This is a false mirror. You know, this is, anyway. But the point is that we end up realizing that, okay, we're being drawn by, it's almost like a magnetic force, a positive and a negative, right? And all of a sudden they're being drawn together. And that's really what's going on. And we resist that. We keep wanting to turn sideways a little bit so we get, or flip the other side so that it becomes positive to positive, which we actually keeps it from coming together, right? And or negative to negative. But you understand. I'm not a...
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
But my point being is that I believe that's what takes place, that the more that we seek Christ, the more that we become, that we have desired to know him even more. And yet we still want to keep our foot or part of our... one of our appendages in the world, right? Of still kind of wanting to be like that. I said, I don't know yet, and not completely happening.
Yeah, well, the Bible says something about that too, and I think is now a good time to take a break. Is that why you're looking at the clock?
You're here or something else. We can take a break. You're in charge.
Okay, because here's the deal. The Bible says something about what Raul just said. So if you want to hear what it is, you're going to have to stick around till after the break, and then we're going to go there. So you're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I'm
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. I should have you do this since she ended the
Well, line. Actually, I kind of like the last segment because it really shows how amateur we are, especially the guy on this side of the desk.
No,
okay. It's all good.
It works on both sides anyway. go ahead.
We were talking about, you were saying about having 1 foot in the kingdom and 1 foot in the world.
Yeah.
And because we want the best of both. And so we don't want to, you know, I'm not going to give this up. I'm going to not, you know, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm not going to let
right.
go. And I said that there's something that the Bible says about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody who dared to stick around till after the break,
yes.
remember when we were saying that the Bible says things that we don't like to hear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay.
They're tuning out right now.
Yeah.
I can hear all the computers turning
You're looking
off.
At me. I'm going, okay.
James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So, you know, when I look at that and I think about the idea of friendship,
mm-hmm.
because if we want to be a friend of the world, you know, we're not drawing close to Christ. We're not being like him because, you know, friendship with the world is making God your enemy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Becoming like Christ is an act of worship.
Right.
Right.
Now, let's be clear here so that people understand that when we're talking about the world, we're talking about everything that mankind has put together, okay, to draw us, in a sense, into other idols, other priorities in life that draw us unknowingly to us away from God. He's not talking about the world that, like, the beautiful waters, the forests, the landscapes, all of
right.
that. You know, we're not talking about that. Just a clarification.
No, that's good. It's good to always yes. define your terms.
Right.
When you define your terms, we know that we're on the same page and,
right.
and that we're talking
right.
what it is that we're talking about.
Right.
So, good. Thank you.
Okay.
So I wanted to look at the word friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Because when, you know, in this verse in James, it says that friendship with the world, you know, you're making God your enemy.
Yes.
But Jesus also says something about friendship,
mm-hmm.
right? He says that greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you.
Mm-hmm.
No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find it amazing that Jesus would call me his friend.
Yep, yep.
Because I know the wickedness of my heart,
mm-hmm.
and as I've been walking with Christ for a while now, I see the greatness and the glory and the holy perfection of God, and as I've come to know him, I see how wonderful he is, and it makes it even all the more mm-hmm. marvelous that he would love somebody and die for somebody
right. Right.
as wicked as I am.
Right. Right. Well, you know, if we think about it, God created us. So that means he actually took the time. Okay. He's God. We don't want to put God in a box here. I mean, there are billions of people on this earth, and he loves many of them, if not all of them. And he wants them all to come to knowing him. Okay. But I will tell you this, our God is not like a human being. You know, we sit there and go, you have three children, right? I love them all the same. Well, probably not. You know, there's probably one that you love certain things about them is different than the other ones. And, you know, so there are some differences. Our God is not like us. We're wanting to be like him. But my point being is that he created us. Here's the little chromosomes. This is going to be Eric, right? The little DNA. This is what he's going to be, and this is what he's going to be like. This is the life he's going to, where I'm hoping that he finds me and sees me, and I see that, you know, I want him to eventually come to me. And so God says that, and so Jesus, so it makes it happen and it allows it to take place the way that it does. You end up accepting him, and now, even though you were a sinner, God still loves us despite our sin. Crimson red is the sin that our lives lead.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to him and ask for forgiveness, and he forgives us, we're white as snow. He says, what sin are you talking about, Eric?
Yeah.
I don't know what sin you're talking about.
That's
amazing,
isn't it?
Okay, that's the renewing. Okay, that's where all of a sudden the sanctification that takes place. That's what happens as a result of having a relationship with him, being a friend of Jesus. Jesus is there because of him being a, God sent him down here as a human being, flesh. I mean, he had to eat. He got had to get rid of what he didn't, his body didn't need. He probably bled when he probably, you know, cut himself carpet, doing some carpentry work younger. He probably bled walking into the desert, you know, and heading up at nighttime to go pray with the Lord. Probably fell or scraped on a rock, okay? Mm-hmm. But he was still God, okay? And he loves you. Amen. Not just Eric, but each one of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a result of that, he is our friend. He says, I love you because I know what God had intended for you. I know what's in you. And all everything that the world is trying to take you away from all of this, I can help you. You just have to seek me.
Yeah, and he understands everything that we're going through. I mean, in the book of Hebrews, it says that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near to the throne of grace. You know, it's because of Jesus that we can actually come before God. Because you know what? We are justified, which means that you can remember it as just as if I'd never sinned, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we come to God because all of our sin problem has been taken care of by Christ. And now every man who is in Christ has the right, just as much right as Jesus Christ himself does, to come before the very throne of God and to bring to him all of our cares, all of our concerns, knowing that he cares for us, knowing that he has suffered and been tempted in every way that every human ever has.
Yes.
You know, because he can relate to us because he's gone through it.
Yes.
You know, and what a wonderful friendship that is, and what a wonderful thing it is that we can come before him and we can pray to him, which is another way that we learn to be like Christ,
right?
You know, is when we spend time with him in the communion of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
so often for us to become Christ-like is being more like Jesus, who was if you talk about seeing someone who was humble, what we read about Jesus, boy, he was humble everywhere he was, and yet he was so powerful, and people sought him. He spoke, okay, in such a manner, but simply, and he taught his disciples to do the same thing. And he sought those who are willing to be like him. 1 John, I want to go here because we're only getting down to a few minutes here that we have. 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now, one of the awakenings that I had of a spiritual awakening in coming to know the Lord and finding out more and more is that he designed us to be with him for eternity, but he's also in the process of us becoming more Christ-like to be able to love those around us that he puts in our lives. They are our children, they are our spouses, they are our family, they are our co-workers, they are the people in our lives. It doesn't mean you have to come in and slam them upside the head with the Bible, but if you live more like Christ, if you don't get caught up in dealing with arguments or differences with other people in such a manner, someone's going to notice. And they're going to ask you, why is it that you ended up acting like that and you didn't get, you know, all upset? I would have been furious. So they're curious as to why you're out like that. Mm-hmm. Now you've been given an opportunity. Not that you have to pour it all out on them right there, but, you know, that's the beginning of a relationship. Look what Jesus did. He came, John the Baptist said, here, the Lamb of God, right, who takes the way the sin of the world, whose sandals, I'm so low, I should not even be able to tie his sandals.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so John is saying, here he is. Let's make his path straight so that others will receive him. But in Jesus, I tell you what, you get into the Gospels and how Jesus discipled, that's how we are to disciple. Why not learn from the best discipler around? All right? My point being is that our loved ones, we begin at home. Now, you can't give somebody something they don't want. The only way they're going to desire it is if they see it in us. And if they see the way that we act, the way that we treat other people. And I fail at that all the time. I drive down the road going, man, these people just don't know how to drive. And I'm chatting my wife's ear off because of that, you know, and as if I'm so perfect, you know. But pride always goes before the fall, right? So anyway.
Well, joy is contagious.
Yes.
And, I can think of a lot of people who just really exude the joy of the Lord. And you know what? I want to be around them. And I want to have what they have, you know, and really what it is they have something that is fully accessible to me.
Yes.
And that's Jesus himself. And, you know, we all, no matter where we are in this life, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we all have full access to Jesus. We have full access to the throne of God, and we can have the fullness of the joy. He came that we might have life and have it to the full.
Yes.
You know, he desires this for us, that we would experience the fullness of the pleasures of being in a love, faith relationship with him.
And one of the things I think is so important that we recognize and share with other brothers, that as we become more sanctified by seeking God and doing his will, that's sanctification that sets us apart from everybody else. But in the process of doing that, our temptations, they're going to increase. Okay.
Darn it.
Yes. They're going to increase. You're going to be tempted more often. It seems like the enemy this is a spiritual battle. You know, we just need to remind the enemy that, hey, we know how the story ends. We're fighting from victory, not for victory. The victory took place on that cross when Jesus gave it all up because of his blood. For you and I to be able to have this opportunity to have a relationship with God Almighty, okay? To be with him and to let others know of him, okay? So it's not about saying, I've got this many friends or that many things to do. It's about knowing him and letting others know what you know of him, you know? We're all stepping stones for someone. So, hey, good topic, man.
It is a good topic. I mean, there's nothing more important in this world than Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Because though we live in this world, we don't have to be of this world.
Yes.
We can be kingdom-minded. We can seek Christ. We can seek to be more like him. And you know what? He desires that of us.
You don't have to be a prude. You can just be joyful. Okay?
Amen. Yep.
How about praying for our brothers who are listening?
Our Heavenly Father, we just praise you for the wonderful example that we have in Jesus, Father. In all things, we just long to be more and more like you, Father. I pray that you would bless us in that today and every day, Father, as we seek you, as we seek first your kingdom.